Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the smart but never smarmy company of Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Good morning, Aidan.
Good morning, Joseph. I think that might just be a compliment. I'm not quite sure, but we'll roll with it anyway.
I would take it. I'd take it and run. Okay. Aidan, let us start with the overnight list posted by The Donald. Today being tariff implementation day, we in Europe know what our punishment is. It's 15%. But quite a few surprises in the list of nations that now face pretty swinging tariffs.
Yeah, he seems to be basically having fights with all his closest neighbours, because if you look across in Canada, he's actually raised tariffs from 25% to 35%. Brazil, he's thrown a 40% tariff on top of the 10% baseline that is in existence. And like, there's a few other ones that are quite surprising.
Switzerland, 39%. Yeah. That is huge on a major exporting nation.
Yeah, there'll be no Toblerones being eaten in America.
There won't be a single pyramid or triangle of Toblerone. No, but all joking aside, let's go back to the Canadian one. Now, it's possibly part of his negotiating tactic. You load on the tariff and you haggle at the same time. But 35%, given how much lumber and steel and petroleum is imported from Canada into the United States, it seems really high.
It is very, very high, and I'm not sure he's actually thinking this one through, because particularly for things like lumber, where you have, if you look at the US home building sector right now, it's kind of on its knees because interest rates are so high. You know, we've seen obviously demand and activity in the space slow considerably. Lumber is very important because they obviously majority of the houses in the States are timber frame houses, not like we built over here. And as a result, there's really only one place that you can get lumber, construction lumber for the US, and that is from Canada. So this is a fairly hefty hike that's going to go through, and what does that ultimately do to the housing market? Now, there is a whole load of exports from Canada into the US that aren't going to be covered by this, because they're already covered by that broader Mexico-US-Canada deal. So this is for everything that is outside of that deal. And as you said, lumber and steel are big ones. Energy is going to be huge, I think, because so much of the electricity energy, particularly up around the northern border of the US, comes across from Canada. So not sure there's been a whole lot of thought on this one.
No, and then, of course, there's the trade war that he's kicking off with all of the BRICS now, Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And the Indians got their bad news yesterday and the day before. We've already mentioned Brazil. He likes to be at war all the time with his trading partners.
Yeah, look, I think this is, like, if you look at it, the overall, when we came into this year, you know, there was kind of, implied tariffs within the US, into the US on goods from globally of about 2-3%. When you put all of these through now, you're going to be looking at a number, an effective tariff rate of north of maybe 15 or 16%. Mm-hmm. Now that is definitely going to impact prices in the US, and it could ultimately impact economic activity, particularly on the consumer side.
Yeah, I see the job cuts are the highest in America since the crash caused by lockdowns in 2020.
Yeah, we've got there's lots of different payroll numbers out of the US. The big one is today. It's what's called the non-farm payrolls. And that's actually been surprisingly resilient over the last couple of months. And the unemployment rate in the US is about 4.1%. But they've been generating about 140,000 jobs a month. Now, the market expects that number to be about 107 for July. But what was interesting in June is, if you actually looked at the 147 that was reported, believe it or not, 73,000 of that came from government jobs, and most of that actually came from a boost in the public school workers, because they stayed on the payroll for June period, which is a bit unusual just the way the school year worked this year. So if you see those roll off in July, you know, there's some people out there saying that there could be a downside risk to the numbers today at 107. So it's going to be very, very interesting to keep an eye on that.
I will be. Irish manufacturing, it's firing on most, but not all of its cylinders.
Yeah, it started the third quarter with a very solid increase in output levels, supported kind of by an upturn with new work. Export sales have expanded for the first time since March, and that kind of ties in, if you think about it, with all of the advanced buying that we saw in the kind of the fourth quarter and the first quarter, especially into the US. You know, we've obviously seen a bit of a slowdown there. So it's good to see those orders, export orders start and sales starting to expand again. Goods produced are definitely seeing experience pressure on margins. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on because import costs, inflation has gone up a little bit. But again, it's pretty good. And new growth has lost some of its momentum. And that's the point you were mentioning about not quite all cylinders. But at least, you know, the order books are improving. And that's obviously a positive sign.
It is, yeah. That's the AIB manufacturing PMIs. Jaguar Land Rover. Now, Jaguar put out a very interesting advert a year ago, which didn't feature a single car in it.
And the sure boss the of Jaguar, there was a few people scratching their head on that one.
Well, the marketing department obviously signed off on it. I think there's a few customers that were scratching their head. There's certainly a new type of Jaguar coming out sometime in the next year or so, but the chief executive is stepping down.
He is, yeah, Adrian Mardell. He's stepping down after 3 years at the helm. And look, there has been a few issues. The controversial rebranding was one. What's interesting here is that officially he's saying that it's because his plan was always to retire after 3 years. They're saying they're going to announce a successor in due course, but you know, if this had been your plan, you'd probably have told your employers, and therefore, you know, the succession issue would have been kind of well on the way. But again, it looks a little bit interesting from that perspective. But if you think about it, he took the job after the previous guy, Thierry Bollaert, left after just 2 years after a string of losses. And he's also had, as I said, a couple of other issues to deal with, and sales haven't been good. But they are going to release their new, in 2026, they're going to release their all-electric ultra-premium Jaguar. It's going to be a fairly punchy price target as well. But again, it has to compete with an awful lot of other electric vehicles that are particularly at the high end. So, it'll be interesting to see who gets the job. But, you know, the other thing is the trade deal signed with the US and the UK was probably going to help taking the tariffs down from 27 down to 10. But it's what's more interesting, I think, is that, you know, although they're touting that as a great win for the UK, the company still announced that they're planning 500 voluntary redundancies within the UK business. So maybe they just don't think the future is as bright as they thought it was.
Talking about premium vehicles, which one of your vintage cars are you taking out for a spin at the long weekend?
I'm not a car man, I have to tell you.
You've got boats. Yeah. Aidan, have a lovely long weekend, and we will speak to you again very soon, I hope. That is Aidan Donnelly there from Davies.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.